which God gave to show his servants what must soon take place. And he made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw that is in the word of God and in the testimony of Christ Jesus. So in the very first verse of the book of Revelation, it tells us that the book of Revelation is revealing who? Jesus Christ. You get it? So the beast doesn't matter. The ten horns don't matter. All of those other things don't matter in the sense that they become overpowering. No. They matter in the sense that they're part of the prophecy, but Christ is the one being revealed. So if we get that picture to begin with, it'll make it a whole lot easier. If we understand that from the Bible, it'll make it a whole lot easier. So as we're talking about a cosmic conflict, yes, there is a conflict going on, but the winner has already been. The winner is already there, and that is Christ. So tonight, signs you can't ignore. Pray with me again. Our Father, I pray now again that you take everything that is mine, and Lord, just give me your spirit. Hide me behind the cross, and may Jesus shine forth. For we ask it all in the precious name of Christ. Amen. Signs you can ignore, facing the future unafraid. A scientist came out not too long ago and said, with the pollution that's going on in the world today, there is no way that this planet is going to last the next 1,000 years. He said that because of everything that's happening, the polar ice is going to start melting, and there's going to be worldwide flooding all over the world that's going to lead to the destruction of the planet. Others think that this planet is going to ultimately be destroyed by an atomic bomb. Some wacko somewhere is going to push a button and boom, it'll be all over. Others think that the population that we have, over 6 billion now, will continue to expand and the resources that are on this planet will get used up, and that way the planet will be done and over with. Others think that there's going to be a meteor that sooner or later is going to cross path with our planet, and the planet is going to come to an end that way. Earth is going to come to an end that way. There's others that think the UFOs are coming sooner or later. They're going to show up, and they're going to take our planet. They're going to use up our water and take us away. You've heard some of these, right? I mean, this is nothing new. But for most of us, life continues. We go to work, we get up, we do our things, and we go and we do our things every day, and we continue. When we see some of the things that are happening in this planet, some of us wish that the world would come to an end because we see so much suffering. We see so much pain. But you see, folks, the reality is that the Bible does say that this world is coming to an end. But the good news is that Christ is going to rebuild this planet and recreate it again in the same way that it was created when Adam and Eve first took it. This is going to be a new planet. No more pain, no more sorrow. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. The big question is, when and how will this world come to an end? And that's where we got to go to the prophecies. That's where we got to look at the Bible prophecies. Now, there's no shortage of false prophets that make all kind of predictions about the end time. There's prophets every day, there's readings every day that try to promote and try to predict when the end is going to come. You've heard it, you've probably seen it, you've probably heard it on the radio. There's many false things that are happening. Prophecy is being talked about quite a bit. But you see, prophecy is only a tool. In all the prophets that you might have heard of or you might know of, they perhaps have not gotten it all right. Most prophets only get, or the so-called prophets, only get a few of the things that they predict right. So in order for us to understand prophecy, we must go to the person who invented prophecy. We must go to the one who understands and uses prophecy, and that is Christ our Lord. He is the one that created this planet. He knows the beginning. He knows the end from the beginning. He understands it all. He knows it all. So he's the one that we need to be going to understand it. So prophecy has to be focused through and understood through Jesus Christ. If you do not have that as your center, then we won't get it. So with that in mind, let's look a little bit at the Bible. During one instance, the disciples, wanting to impress Jesus, came over to him and said, "Jesus, look at our temple. Isn't it wonderful? White dome of gold. You could see it for miles. If you stand on the Mount of Olives, you can look down at the temple, and the temple just seems to shine. Just seems to just blind you when you see that white marble, that golden. Oh, it's just beautiful." The disciples came over and said, "Jesus, look at our temple. Isn't it wonderful?" This was a marvelous creation that the Romans had actually finished and had done a wonderful job at building this temple. This was a national treasure for the Jewish nation. Jesus took a look at it, and then he said this, Matthew 24:2, "Do you not see all of these things? Assuredly, he say, I said to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall be not be thrown down." So here's the disciples, they come, they want to show Jesus, "Oh, what a marvelous building, what a marvelous temple we have." And Jesus turns around and tells them, it's going to be destroyed. And not one stone is going to be left upon another. The disciples were shocked. Again, this is a marvelous treasure, a national treasure for our nation. Jesus is saying, it's not going to be left one stone on top of another. So the disciples were shocked, and they came to him and they asked him. The disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" So they come to him and they're saying, "Listen, Jesus, okay, what is going to be the sign? What's going to be happening?" What they have done is they have connected the destruction of the temple with the end of the world. They have connected their national treasure with the end of the world, because that's what they thought. But you see, the book of Matthew is actually talking about two different things. And we will see this as we go along in this seminar, that prophecy usually has a dual application. Some prophecies have even triple applications. The application for the immediate people that are there, and then an application for the future. Sometimes multiple applications for the future. So here we have a dual application. The first application was that the temple was going to be destroyed. And we'll look at that in a minute. The second application was that Christ was talking about his return, his glorious, marvelous return when he returns with all the angels to set up a whole new kingdom. So that was a little bit different. So two different things. The disciples thought that he was talking about only one thing. He was talking about his glorious return, and he was also talking about the destruction of the temple. Matthew 24:15 says, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand." So he's going into the prophecy here now. He's telling them what's going to be coming. He's telling them, pay attention. If you see it coming, then you can do something about it. Now, how many of you live here where you can see the ocean? Let me see your hands. Okay? How many of you can see the clouds of rain when they're starting to come in? Yeah? Some of you? Okay. So if you were out in your garden picking some flowers, and your husband comes out, you know, like a good husband, and he says, "Listen, there's a few clouds coming in, and it looks like it's getting windy, it's getting dark, and it's probably going to start raining soon. As a matter of fact, as I look out there, I think there's hail coming down too." Would you stay there just with your flowers? No, you wouldn't stay there. you would finish up whatever you're doing and you would run inside to get away. You wouldn't want to get wet. You see, Jesus was telling them, this is what's coming. Pay attention. Then, Matthew 24 says, let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, okay, so to get away, so they wouldn't suffer the destruction. Now Daniel, and we'll get into Daniel a little bit more here, but Daniel had talked about in his prophecies that Israel had a certain amount of time to do their work. And after a certain amount of time, they were going to be cut off. And so he was referring back to those prophecies. Matthew 24, 17 says, let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is on the field not go back to get his clothes. So what Jesus was talking about here was a matter of life and death. This was a prophecy that affected their everyday life. And so he's telling them, listen, when you see these things happening, go. Don't come back. If you're on the rooftop, go. If you have clothes inside, let it be. Go. It would be like us today. Don't go back for your iPod. Don't go back for the laptop. Don't go back for the pickup. You get the picture? He was telling them, go. No matter what you have, go. Okay? Don't go back and get it. Jerusalem was surrounded by the Romans. Now, this is history here now. And you'll understand that as we look at the prophecies, as we look at the Bible, prophecy and history go together. Because history proves, confirms prophecy. So we'll be looking a lot at prophecy too, but Jerusalem was surrounded by the Roman armies. There had been something going on there, and so they sent, Titus actually sent some people. Let's look at it here. Matthew 21:20 says, but when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that the desolation is near. So Jesus is telling them, he's telling them a lot of the details. He's giving them everything. When you see it surrounded, know that the desolation is near. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. It continues to say, and they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. So Jesus is giving details of this prophecy. Very clear details. He's letting them know, when you see this, go, flee, don't come back. Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. So he has given them everything. He has told them, when you see this happening, go. Don't linger. Don't go back and try to get your clothes. If you're on your rooftop, let things inside be. Now let's go to history, church history. Book 3, chapter 5 by Eusebius says, in the year A.D. 66, approximately 33 years after Jesus gave this prediction, the Roman armies under Cestius came to put down a rebellion that had broken out in Jerusalem. As they laid siege against the city, however, the city withstood the siege of the Roman army, and finally the Roman armies withdrew, despairing of actually being able to take the city. So this is what happened, A.D. 66. A rebellion has been started. The Romans send an army. The army comes in. They surround the city. Okay, they come in. They block off everything. They surround the city. They lay siege. They block off any food coming in, anything going out. The city is being sieged. Then they attack the city. But they fight back. As a matter of fact, they fight back so hard that the Romans think that they're going to lose this battle. So they say, whoa, forget that. Let's back off. So they back off and they go back to Rome. AD 66 now. Now Jerusalem, all of the ones inside are saying, yeah, we won. The Romans are out of here. We got them. We beat them, right? That's what they're saying. But the Christians, those who had listened to the prediction that Christ had mentioned, Jerusalem was surrounded, for them, this was a sign. And the sign was to get out. And they did. They left. 4 years later, in AD 70, and this is historical now, Romans came back. They destroyed the temple. Not one Christian died. But 1.1 million Jewish lost their life because they did not read the signs. They knew. Jesus Christ had predicted it. How about the temple? The temple that Christ had said that not a stone was going to be left one on another. The order was given by Titus not to touch the temple. But one soldier accidentally threw a torch in the temple, and the temple burnt down. Not one stone left upon another. Just like Christ had predicted. Just like Christ had predicted. Now, in that prediction, Christ didn't give everything. Christ didn't give every single detail, but he gave enough signs to understand what was going to be coming. And it's the same thing that he does today. So that's what we want to look at today. We want to look at these prophecies now that affect us. Matthew 24, you know the book, talks about a lot of end time events. Some of the signs that are going to be prevalent before the return of Jesus Christ. Number one, nation will rise against nation. Are we seeing this sign? Have we seen this sign for many years now? Some of you are military here. Some of you are armed forces, have been in the armed forces. Some of you have fought wars, correct? Thank you for your service. Really, thank you for your service. That's a sign, though, that we have here in the Bible. Nation will rise against nation. Matthew 24:7 says, "For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence and earthquakes in various places." So World War I, we had 20 million people lose their life as the world came and fought against each other. Humans against humans, taking their lives, 20 million. World War II, 50 million. Then after World War II, we have Korea. After Korea, we have Vietnam. After Vietnam, we thought everything was over. Then we get the Tutsis fighting against the Hutus in Africa. We get the genocides, then Iraq, then Afghanistan. Folks, war is breaking out all over the world. You see, people are talking peace, and we hear it even on the news, trying to make peace. You have Israel fighting against other countries. Now they're trying to talk peace, 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 peace. But the Bible says that they will be talking peace, but preparing for war. So this is a sign of the end. The Bible is very clear. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:3, "For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them." So wars, folks, according to the Bible, are not going to get any less. They're going to get worse as we near the end. The book of Revelation lets us know that the nations were angry, and your wrath has come and should destroy those who destroy the earth. Folks, do you know that we have the capability now, not we as people here, but there are countries that have the capability now of destroying major parts of this world with one single button. They can push a button and a bomb will go off and it will destroy a lot of the population of this planet. We have that capability. It has been predicted. Revelation says those who destroy the earth. You see, we thought that when Russia and this United States signed the treaty that there was going to be no more atomic bombs, we thought we were done and over with. But as we see today, many nations have the capability. You look at North Korea. You look at Iran. You look at some of these other countries. Many of them have come to the knowledge and understanding of how to make these weapons. And who knows how many weapons are out there. So this is a sign that again, things can be taken out, wars can happen, country can fight against country, brother will fight against brother. We're seeing that sign. Another sign is famines. The Bible says, Matthew 24:7, there will be famines. Now, what is a famine? A famine can also be translated as a plague. food shortage. 38 countries around the globe today suffer from food shortage. They don't have enough food. They have to depend on other countries to import them food so they can feed their citizens. Starvation, 57 million die every year because of starvation. 156,000 per day die. So we're running out of food. We're having these problems, folks. Today's population, 60%. That's 60% out of 6 billion, so a little bit over 3 billion people are malnourished. Now you may say, well, you know, that's not in our country. Oh, really? The biggest state in our country is starvation. You may have heard it on the radio. You may have seen it on TV. We do have that problem. 20% will end up starving. So that's a lot of people dying. We are seeing these things because, see, as population goes up, the farmland has gone down, so we cannot produce enough food. So therefore, we get pestilence. Upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, pestilence will happen. And again, this is plagues. There will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. Some of the things that are affecting us today, the doctors have no clue about. Some of the diseases that are coming up today, some of the new diseases that are coming up, they don't have a clue, folks. AIDS, you didn't have to worry about AIDS 30 years ago. Maybe it was starting, but it wasn't a major deal. Today, there are over 40 million people per year infected with AIDS. It's getting worse. There are diseases that are coming up. Let me put some of the new plagues here. AIDS, malaria, tuberculosis, cholera, you see them. You know, I went a couple of years ago. I had a little, you know how your mind just plays tricks on you? I had a little thing that developed on the side of my hip. Yeah, just a kind of like a little red thing, and I don't know what it was. And my wife saw it, and, you know, she gets all panic, you know. And of course, when something, you know, shows up like that and it doesn't go away, the first thing that comes to your mind is the C word. So, okay, we got to go to the doctor. Doctor takes a look at it. Looks like shingles. Maybe not. Maybe something else. Maybe ringworm. Well, let's take a little bit of it and study it. So they take a little bit of it, put it in the little vial, send it off to San Francisco. San Francisco sends it back and says, doesn't look like anything. We can't conclude anything. It's not cancer, but we don't know what it is. Okay, so doctor says, all right, well, let's go to a specialist now. So all right, go to a specialist. Oh, let me take a look at it. Oh, okay, yeah, all right, let's take a little piece of it again, put in a little vial, send it off to Seattle now. So they come back from Seattle. Oh, it's just a common skin rash. Okay, so take this, you know, ointment, put it on there. Okay, put it on there. In the morning, then in the evening, you know, then in the morning, then, oh, okay, it goes away. Come back to the doctor. Doctor says, oh, okay, well, how's it going? Oh, I think it's well. I think it's been healed. Praise the Lord. Doctor says, well, you know, as I look at it, I think it was just a reaction to stress. You know, some of the things that are happening today, some of the diseases that are affecting us, we don't know how they're affecting us, folks. And I'm one of the belief that stress really plays on our bodies. So the best we can do is, you know, don't stress over it. We know that God has told us that He's going to win. We know that He's won already. We know that He's given us the sign. We know that He's going to create a new planet. Don't stress over it. Just trust Him. The World Health Organization predicts again 40 million cases of HIV. The environmental, that's another sign. The pollution, as we look at this world, folks, this world cannot keep taking what we're putting it through. This world will not last. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look on the earth beneath. For the heavens will vanish away like smoke. The earth will grow old like a garment. You know that even your favorite clothes, they, after you wore them for so long, they start deteriorating. This old world is tired. This old world is getting really old. Some of the cities, you know, I don't know if you'll recognize some of the cities, but some of the cities, it looks like they're always cloudy. But the thing is that it's not clouds. It's pollution. As a matter of fact, some of the cities even put a sign as you go into the city that there's increased air pollution ahead. And I saw this one, which, you know, depending on how you look at it, it's pretty nasty. 25% of drinking water is reclaimed sewer water. So we're looking at these things, and of course it's affecting our planet. It's affecting the way we live. Workers are being subject to nuclear waste that affects them in ways that we have no clue about. So you see, as the population is growing, the more and more pressure we're putting on our planet. This is simply another sign. The environment cannot keep holding us. How about earthquakes? You've heard of Haiti. You've seen it on the news. You heard of Chile. You've heard of many earthquakes. Folks, we've always had earthquakes. But we've never had them to the frequency that we're seeing today. There will be earthquakes in various places, the Bible says. Over 6,000 major earthquakes happen each year right now. The earth is shaking. The earth is moving. It's destroying. Some of these earthquakes, folks, it takes a few seconds. They don't take very long. It takes a few seconds and a few little rumbles, and thousands of lives are lost. The Bible says that this is another sign that we should not ignore. Luke 21:11 says there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilence, and there will be fearful sights and great sights from heaven. So we're seeing some of these things. We're starting to understand them. We're starting to see them. We're starting to live them in our own lives. There will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. One day I was traveling. I used to live in Central Oregon. How many of you have been to Central Oregon? Bend area. So you know that in the Bend area is just flat, right? Except when you see the mountains off to the west. This day happened to be a clear sunny day, but a few high clouds. And as we were traveling down the road, we saw this thing that I had never seen. Evidently is a little common, but I saw a rainbow. But you know how rainbows go, usually go from this way, right? This rainbow was completely this way around the sun. I don't know if you've ever seen something like that. Okay, so it's not as common as, you know. For me, it was the first time that I had seen it. And I was thinking, man, let me read my Matthew, you know. This was something else. But you see, signs are happening. The sea is roaring. As we look at the seas, and as you go and you see the ocean here when the storms come in, it's pretty awesome to watch. But these things are happening. The earth is letting us know that all of this natural destruction is leading us and pointing us to the fact that our Lord and Savior is coming back soon. This old world can't take it anymore. Knowledge shall increase is another sign. How many of you remember the first computer? How many of you remember the first car? The first bicycles? The first compact CD player? You know, they call it compact CD player. You know, and now we have these little things, computers. You know, take a look at, you know, what we're doing here tonight. We have a projector, a computer. I remember, and I came from a country that you had to draw some of this stuff. And then, you know, you had the little film strips that you can push and go, little slides. Now technology has given us more and more information. Daniel 12:4 says, "Shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end." Many shall run to and fro. Knowledge shall increase. Knowledge is increasing. Knowledge is getting better and better. Again, I mentioned to you the computer. I mentioned to you the projector. This thing is just getting amazing. The communications that we can do nowadays is just phenomenal. You can call anywhere in the world now. No way that you could do that, you know, a few years ago. Or if you did, it cost you a lot. People will run to and fro. You can get on an airplane today and be across the world tomorrow. 12 hours. You can go to England. You can go to Japan. You can go to any nation. As a matter of fact, we can even go to the moon. Knowledge has increased. This is, again, another sign that the Bible says things are getting to the point where we are beginning to see the signs of His coming. We are beginning to see the signs. Let's be ready. How about the moral conditions of the world? Would you say the moral conditions of the world have gotten worse? Yeah? Some of you have seen it. Some of you have seen it. Some of you grew up in an age where you didn't have to worry about anything. Some of you grew up in an age where you didn't have to lock your car. You didn't have to lock your door. You didn't have to watch your children like a hawk. But now you do. We live in a society, we live in a world where the moral conditions are deteriorating. Luke 17:28 says, "Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." So as we get closer to the end, things are going to start decaying morally. Jude 1:7 says, "Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, having given themselves over to sexual immorality, are set forth as examples." So he's telling us, he's given us examples of what has happened, so therefore we'll understand what is going to come in the future. The apostle says in Romans 1:26, "Even their women exchange natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men." Folks, are we seeing this in our society today? Are we seeing it? Are we experiencing it? Folks, it's right here. It's in front of us. 2 Timothy says, "People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasures, rather than lovers of God." Are we seeing this today? It used to be that you can go to your neighbor and say, "How you doing?" But nowadays, you don't even know who your neighbor is. As a matter of fact, in the news, I was watching about 4 days ago, a man in Medford had lived in a neighborhood. Some of you may even have seen it on the news. He lived in the same neighborhood for 15 years. Seemed like the nicest guy. Seemed like just a regular, nice person. He put up Christmas decorations. He put up Halloween decorations. He had candy for all the children that came, but he was living under an assumed identity because he was a bank robber. No one would ever know it. Again, it used to be that we didn't have to worry about those things, but now we do. The moral conditions of this planet are getting worse and worse. 2 Timothy says, "Having a form of godliness but denying its power, evil men, imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." Are we seeing this today? Yes, we are. Another thing that the Bible mentions is false Christ and false prophets. This is another thing that it's supposed to come up and we are going to see as a sign of His soon return. Matthew 24:23 says, "Then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." So the Bible is letting us know that this false prophets, this false Christ are going to have such power that they are going to show themselves as Christ Himself. They're going to be so convincing that even the elect are going to be deceived. So that's why we need to know our Bible. That's why we need to be students of the Word. That's what we need to know, the prophecies. We need to know the signs. Matthew 24, 26 says, "Therefore, if they say to you, 'Look, he is in the desert,' do not go out. For as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." About two nights ago, I don't know, must have been around 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, there was a lightning flash. How many of you saw it? Okay, some of you saw it. And then there was thunder, right? You had the lightning flash and then the thunder, and the thunder seemed like it lasts forever. It was probably just a few seconds, right? But it was, you know, it rolled. How many of you that saw that lightning? To me, I've seen lightning. Again, I used to live in the plains of Texas, Amarillo, Texas, El Paso, Texas. When lightning strikes, it's awesome. But I've never seen the kind of lightning strike that I saw a couple of nights ago. It was this way. It was this way. It went all over the place. It was just amazing. Even my wife, who was looking the other way, saw it because it was just such a marvelous flash. The Bible says that when Christ comes, you will not be able to miss it. You will not be able to, you know, to say, show it on the news, I missed it. No, you won't need to have somebody call you. You won't need to have somebody emailing you. You won't need to have anybody texting you. You will know, because you will see it with your own eyes. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Revelation 1:7, "Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him." So you'll be able to see him with your own eyes. It won't be a secret. It won't be anything that'll be done in a little corner. It will be to the open eye. We will be able to see our Lord coming. Another sign before his coming is that the gospel needs to go to all the world. Now, we've seen all the other signs, and I think that we can all agree that all of those signs have already happened or are continuing to happen. But this one, I would say, is the only one that is yet to be fulfilled. If we have not accomplished one, is this one. The gospel needs to go to all the world. Matthew 24, 14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come." Revelation says, "I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people." So the gospel, the everlasting gospel, must go out to every nation, to every tribe, to every people. So everybody needs to hear that gospel. And of course, we are called as ambassadors to do that. You see, we have means today of radio, TV, satellite, seminars such as this, where we present the gospel. The gospel is going forward. You see, as Daniel there preached, and as he remembered those prophecies pointed back to the fact that time was running out. Time was coming to an end. Time was coming to a close. Jesus is pointing us back to ourselves and saying, "Listen, time is coming to a close." And Jesus usually pointed back to the Old Testament to illustrate a point. So let's see it here. He pointed back to Noah. Matthew 24, 37 says, "But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be." So is it wrong to eat? No. Is it wrong to drink? No. Is it wrong to get married? Well, it depends on who you ask. Right? It's not wrong to get married. It's very good to get married, by the way, if you're not married. Is it wrong to give yourself? No, it's not. It's very good. But you see, if you're eating so engrossed in what you're eating that you miss the fact that a bomb might just go off around you, then that's a problem, right? If you're drinking and you're so focused in your drinking that you don't realize what's happening around you, that's a problem. You see where it becomes an issue. So it's not wrong to eat and drink, but it's wrong when what you're doing takes away your focus of what's going around you. So you must always keep the big picture in mind. The book of Genesis, going back to the story of Noah, let's look at it in a little bit detail here. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thought of his heart was evil continually. There was nothing good coming out of man's heart. All they thought about was evil. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that God was sorry that he had created man. It was that bad. It was that bad. Maybe it is that bad today too. Violence was happening. All of these things were going all over. The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. I grew up in South Central LA. And I don't know how many of you have ever been to South Central LA. But it's a scary place. You don't want to be caught anywhere. You don't want to be caught wearing the wrong color of shirt. You don't want to be, combed. You want to be careful, folks. You really want to be careful. Violence. We see violence. We are seeing violence. We have seen some of the things that have taken place. You read it in the news. You see it in the newspapers. You watch it. People are trying to put restrictions on the use of guns. But if you take guns away, people will use whatever means they can to be violent. Violence will continue. Matthew 24:12 says, "And because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." But Daniel, he says, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. The time of the end is now. The time of the end is here. We are seeing the signs. We are seeing the knowledge increase. We are seeing the things happening just like they were happening in Noah's time. You see, in Noah's time, here's one thing. Noah preached the same sermon for 120 years. Guess what his sermon was? It's going to rain. He got up and he preached and he said it's going to rain. And he would be building that box, wooden box, and he would stop. It's going to rain. But what was the problem? People didn't believe him because it had never rained. Never, ever had it rained. But he kept preaching. Man, I would have liked to be in that kind of preacher. You don't have to prepare. You don't have to worry from week to week where you're going to preach. All you have to get up, it's going to rain. That's what he said. You see, but God put a plan in action. God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood," he said. Make yourself an ark. Make yourself a box. So he did, and he preached. He would build. It's going to rain. Build. It's going to rain. People just got tired of listening to him. Yeah, just kind of listen. And then all of a sudden, here's the animals. Here's this big box. Now it's finished. And some of the animals start coming in two by two. And some other animals are coming in seven by seven. And you would think that Noah has been preaching out there, it's going to rain, and no one's believing him. But when the animals start coming in, somebody might have had a little bit of light go off in their brain and say, "Whoa, where are the animals coming in?" But no one did. The animals came in. They went into the ark. As the ark was finished, all the animals went into the stalls. Everything was prepared in the ark. And then God sealed the ark. Genesis 7:16 says that God shut him in, sealed it in, and then he sat in the ark for 7 days. So imagine the people, they're sitting out there, they're laughing, "Noah, come out, man. There's no rain. Never been rain. Those animals are going to trample you in there. Come out, man." He couldn't come out. But then after 7 days, it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth. It says that in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the fountains of the great deep, so the fountains of the great deep from underneath, and the windows of heaven were open. So there was water coming from underneath and water coming from on top. They were open, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, completely covered. The waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. So it covered up everything. They had heard the same sermon, it's going to rain. They saw the sign. They saw the ark going up. They saw the animals going in. They saw the ark shut. They saw Noah and his family go in for 7 days. They saw it. They saw everything. But they're still sitting out there laughing until the rain came. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. That supersedes that everyone else died. Is it the same today, folks? God has given us the signs. We are seeing the signs. We are seeing the moral conditions of this planet. We are seeing the gospel go forward. We are seeing the earthquakes. We are seeing the war. We are seeing everything happening around us. Are we so blind that we cannot see that the Lord is coming soon? Is it the same thing that's happening today? You see, Christ is saying, time is coming. The time is coming to a close. And you see, imagine what Jesus feels. I go back and I think of Adam and Eve. And Adam talking to God and saying, God, thank you so much. What a beautiful woman you gave me. Oh man, this is just awesome. And Eve talking to God and saying, God, oh, what a wonderful man you've given me. Oh, you've given us such a wonderful place to live in. God, thank you so much. And they talk face to face. And you can see God smiling back and just being proud like a father because of all the great things they have. Oh, I can see that. And I can see that as sin came in, that affected and broke that relationship. And Christ wants to rebuild that relationship again with us. This is what this whole thing is all about. He wants to recreate. Jehovah Creator God wants to be again among us. Our Creator God wants to talk to us face to face again. He wants us to enjoy. You see, this world was not made to be the way it is right now. This is the consequences of sin. But sin is coming to an end very soon. When Christ, our Lord, shows up in the clouds, this will be over. In the meantime, we see the earthquakes, we see the false Christ, we see the pollution, we see the wars. But you see, the time is coming, just as it was in the very beginning when he first came for the very first time. All the signs were there. But unfortunately, the Bible says that he came unto his own, and his own received them not. You see, we must be ready. We must see the signs. We must read the signs. He is telling us he is coming soon. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to the day that I don't have to suffer anymore from the consequences of sin in this planet. I don't know about your life, but I know that my life has not been the best. I've suffered some things. I've done some things in my life. I've experienced some things. I've seen some things that I wish I would have never seen. But God is saying, I got a new world coming. I got a new world coming. And he's saying, look, when you see all these things, know that is near, even at the doors. Folks, we are seeing those things. I don't know how near we are to the end, but I can tell you that according to the Bible, we're very near. We're very near. So the big question tonight for us is, surely I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. So they're taking place. Christ is inviting us to come and have a relationship with him. Christ is saying, listen, I died for you. I came for you. I created you. I recreated you. I want a relationship with you. Will you have a relationship with me? That's what it's all about. He's saying, listen, once you have a relationship with me and you understand and you know the signs, you will understand and you will have the courage to live. You won't be stressed out because you know the end from the beginning. Yeah, you may not know all the details. Prophecy doesn't give us all the details, folks. It gives us the signs so that we understand where we're at. He's saying, come and have a relationship with me. Let's be ready. Will you be ready? Pray with me as we finish. Our Father, we again thank you so much for this time you've given us. We ask you to keep us and guard us and direct us now. And we pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to guide us in our everyday life. We look forward to the day when you will come in the clouds. And we expect you, Lord. We expect you very soon. But we pray that you will keep us faithful till that day. For we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.